On episode 412 of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Alejandro Unger and discuss his book, Clean 7. You can find the full show notes for this episode at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/412. Have you decided you're ready to make a change? To reclaim your health and fitness? The 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is here for you. I'm your host, Alan Meisner. I'm an NSAM certified personal trainer with a specialization in corrective exercise and fitness nutrition. Let me be your coach as you find your way on your health and fitness journey. All right, let's go. Our guest today is a New York Times best-selling author of the book Clean. He completed his training in New York Downtown Hospital with a fellowship in cardiology, and he mixes Eastern medicine into the way he treats his patients holistically. With no further ado, here's Dr. Alejandro Unger. Dr. Unger, welcome to 40 Plus Fitness.
Thank you for having me.
I really enjoyed your book, The Clean 7, and I thought it was kind of fascinating. You were in the book, you were talking about one of your mentors was actually one of the individuals that was in that plane accident. It got trapped up in the mountains, you know, where they did the movie Alive on.
Yeah.
I just thought that was kind of fascinating.
Dr. Roberto Canessa.
Yes, yes. And so, and he was one of them that came down out of the mountains and actually got him rescued, wasn't he?
He was one of the two that ventured off into the unknown, completely emaciated with meat of his friends' bodies in rugby socks, and walked up and down the mountains for 10 days. And arrived in Chile and found a farmer who called the army. And yes,
that's just fascinating. Like I said, that would just be someone interesting to be hanging out with and getting to know. And then also being your mentor, you know, just someone to really inspirationally look up to each day. It's like, I can do anything. I can do anything, you know.
The life force on this man is compared to nothing I've ever met.
Well, that was just a cool little side to the story that you had in the book. But I liked your stories because it was the realism of, okay, you're a Westernly trained medical doctor and you're getting into functional medicine. And then you're seeing examples of Ayurvedic medicine and you're with your program now, Clean 7, you're blending those together to give people tools to get healthy.
Yeah, well, functional medicine and an understanding of Ayurvedic medicine didn't come until much later. You know, I got sick and I started looking for solutions that did not include 7 prescription medications for my health issues at the time. And I went blind just on a search. And it was through my search that I started finding things. One of the pillars of what I found was the concepts and practices of detoxification. And then once I got into it, at the beginning, not understanding the biology behind it or the science behind it, but really experiencing the benefits, then in my obsession to really understand was when I became aware of functional medicine, which really explained detoxification in detail, right? A word that they don't use anymore because it's kind of been misused and it leads to confusion. So the word now is biotransformation, which is what is happening to the toxic molecules. They get biotransformed from toxic into non-toxic and from lipophilic or fat soluble into water soluble so that they can be excreted and eliminated.
Yeah, I think that word detox does scare a lot of people because you get these crazies selling these shakes or these, you know, these things you drink and messes with your system and kind of washes a lot of fluid out. Yeah.
Even in the medical world, when I first heard somebody that told me, you know, they did a detox program, I had only studied it as what you send your patients to do when they're alcoholics or drug addicts.
Yeah. So in your Clean 7, there are 3 pillars that you're kind of bringing together to help us improve our health. Can you talk about those 3 pillars?
Well, the first pillar is functional medicine, and I use concepts from functional medicine. Basically, the concepts from functional medicine that I use are the elimination diet and the 5 R's, right? What in functional medicine is called the 5 R's. So the elimination diet is basically a diet in which you eliminate any foods that are processed that contain any chemicals or toxic molecules or any non-natural ingredients, right? And it's based on whole foods, primarily vegetables and fruits, but there's other things too. And in my experience, the elimination diet alone is really, really powerful. When in my practice, people come and I, whether I have an idea what they have at the beginning or I have no idea of what they have in my first consultation, while we wait for and blood tests and other tests, I put people on the elimination diet, and about 60% of the people, when they come back for the test results, have experienced immense benefits, if not complete resolution of their problems. So that alone is really, really powerful. The five R's are, the first R is for remove, which means removing everything that hinders physiology, right? Not only toxic molecules, but also bad bacteria or other organisms in the intestines, bad company, stress.
Yes.
Stress and bad situations, right? So the second R stands for reintroduce or replace, which is basically talking about reintroducing or replacing the bad things that we eat with nutritious foods, with foods that contain nutrients. Because what happens is the liver and other tissues that do the detoxification processes and reactions need substrates, need elements, need nutrients in order to attach to the toxic molecules to render them non-toxic. The third R is for re-inoculation. As you remove the bad bacteria and other organisms in the gut, you want to re-inoculate with good bacteria and organism. The fourth R is for repair. And this specifically talks about the repair of the intestinal lining, which I called our Achilles heel, because mostly all, if not all, of chronic diseases of the modern world begin in the gut. And one of the first things that happens in the gut, apart from the disruption of the biome, and leading to dysbiosis, the second thing that happens concomitantly is the breaking of the intestinal lining. The intestinal lining should be made of cells that are stuck together in what is described as tight junctions, making it impermeable for anything that is not actively and specifically chosen by the cells to be absorbed and thrown into the circulation. When that integrity, when that continuity of the barrier is disrupted, leads to what a lot of people now know as leaky gut or hyperpermeability. And the fifth R is for relaxation, because apart from the toxic molecules that we are exposed to through the air we breathe, the water we drink and shower with, the medications we use, the cosmetics we use, the cleaning products that we use in our homes, but mostly through the foods that we eat, the biggest factor together with those toxic molecules in our modern world is stress. So relaxation is really an important factor as well for restoring your body's natural ability to heal itself.
Okay. And then beyond that functional medicine piece, you then get into Ayurveda.
So the second, yeah. The second pillar of, you know, the Clean 7 program are concepts and practices that come from Ayurvedic medicine. And even though I'm not an Ayurvedic medicine expert, I've learned from one of the legends of Ayurvedic medicine who really boiled it down to me, made it really simple, and taught me how to enhance the detox processes through certain Ayurvedic principles, right? One of them is the dosha system, and the other one is the use of Ayurvedic herbs. And this is specifically as it relates to detoxification. So by using the dosha system, you further individualize the approach, and you tailor the approach to the different doshas, right? And in Ayurvedic medicine, there's basically three doshas or body constitutions. And this refers to the way that your body works energetically. And it's based on the distinction of the influence of the different elements which make everything: fire, earth, wind, water, and ether, right? And each one of us has all the elements within us, but there's one or two that are predominant. And the predominant element is the one that is most prone to go out of balance. So by determining your dosha or your predominant element, you will know what foods, what activities, and what other things in your life are influenced most by the element that is your predominant element, and that will most likely throw your predominant element out of balance. For example, if you are of fire predominant constitution, anything that is of predominant fire constitution will be adding fire to fire and throw your fire out of balance. So for example, fiery foods will be the ones that you would need to limit yourself on or eliminate, at least during the times where when your dosha is out of balance. So by using this system of doshas, this doctor, Dr. Narendra Singh from India, who was worldwide known, taught me that the detoxification processes will be enhanced, right? The dosha system is applied to many other things, of which I am only peripherally aware, right? But since I was really focusing on enhancing the detox processes in people and supporting the detox organs and systems, he said, if you use the dosha system, you will enhance the results. You will improve the results. The other thing that comes from Ayurvedic medicine is the use of Ayurvedic herbs, which not only provide people with a world of nutrients, antioxidants, and fiber, but also affect the body energetically through their prana. And prana is the live energy within them that really helps to shift things around. And mostly what I use in Clean 7 are what are called adaptogenic herbs, which really improve your balance, physiological balance. For example, if you are adrenally exhausted, they will help recharge and they will help the adrenals work better. But if you are hyperactive in a way, your adrenals are hyperactive, they will bring them down. So they help your body adapt to whatever situation your body is in at the time, right? The third pillar of the Clean 7 program is intermittent fasting. And this is something that now has become part of the mass consciousness. Everybody's trying some kind of intermittent fasting. But to boil it down to the basics, for thousands and thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of years, depending on who you talk to, our way of life was much like the animals that are now living in the wild, according to the way that nature designed them to live, and living in the places where nature designed them to live, and eating in the way that nature designed them to eat. And if you look at animals in the wild, what is life about? It's about looking for food, feasting when food is found, then taking a rest, and then starting to look for food again until they find one. And until they find one, they will have imposed episodes of fasting. So in that way, our genes evolved for thousands of years, let's say. And the time, if you draw a line in evolution, the time in which we had food 24/7 available to us is a dot, a microscopic dot in the timeline. So the concept that I'm trying to make people aware is that our genes have not had the evolutionary time to adapt to eating all the time. So the body and your genes treat food as, and the whole thing around food, as it was thousands of years ago, which means when food is found, your genes say, okay, this is what life depends on. Let's slow everything else down so that we can utilize as much of what we are eating as possible and store as much as we can, because we don't know where the next meal is coming from. This is how it used to be. Our genes right now cannot know that in 2 hours or in 2 minutes you're going to be eating again. So the moment you put something in your system, the moment your digestive system detects food, your whole functioning mode will shift into utilizing that time, and the energy in your body will be directed mostly towards digestion, absorption, assimilation, and storage, stealing energy from other systems. For example, everybody knows that after a huge meal, you fall asleep, or you become lethargic. And this is the prime example of what I'm talking about. Why? Because as long as there's food in your intestines, as long as your intestines are digesting, that is given priority. And the energy is stolen from thinking, from moving, from detoxifying, right? Yeah. So as we live these days, we are mostly digesting all the time. We don't finish digesting one meal and we introduce another one. So there is not a time where we're not digesting. So the physiologic machinery is always turned into the feasting mode and is never let be in the fasting mode. And it's like, in a way, living with the sun shining all the time without going into the dark and having the opportunity to sleep. And this is, or instead of having yin and yang in your life, only having yang. It's non-sustainable. And this is one of the reasons that humanity is sick. This concept of breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snacks in the middle is something that is new. And it's mostly driven these days by economic interests. So we need to rethink the way we live up to the basic things that we take for granted, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And this is why intermittent fasting is part of the Clean 7 program, because it really makes your genes happy and accelerates everything that we're trying to do by detoxifying or doing a detox program or a biotransformation program. And it also enhances not only the detox processes, but the healing and repairing processes as well.
Yeah. I mean, because if you go into a fast, you're going to get some autophagy, which is where your body's going to actually start getting rid of some bad cells and repurposing them. And then also you're going to increase your human growth hormone. So it's actually scientifically proven that the fasting process is a healing, restoring process.
Yeah. Now you are going kind of deep into the subject. Right? Because when you're talking,
I like about the subject.
Well, but the thing is, you know, you're jumping the gun, because when you talk about autophagy, or the process by which your body starts eating itself, starting with the disease cells, I don't think it happens within 24 hours of being in the fasting mode. I think it takes, and this is just my opinion and from what I've been observing, because there's no studies that categorically determine this, right? But I think it takes a few more days of being really in a fasting state in order for that to start happening. So this, I don't think this is part of why intermittent fasting is beneficial, because people, when they intermittently fast, they fast for 16 hours, 18 hours, 20 hours, 24 hours, but nobody goes further than that.
Yeah. Only reason I think that some of that is naturally occurring is I'll watch bodybuilders that'll use intermittent fasting and they're not losing body mass. You know, they're still gaining body mass at a time when they're not intaking as much protein as they normally would. And I know there's going to be some amino acids circulating in your bloodstream, but for them to continue to put on muscle while doing intermittent fasting tells me that there's something going on where the body's reusing body cells at some level, and the body's still able to be strong, get strong, and gain muscle. So I know, I think some of that stuff is starting to happen, but maybe like you said, yeah, it's the third day or the fourth, you know, second or fourth day, somewhere in there where their body really starts to kick in with some of those processes.
And listen, and you may be right, or I really don't know, because nobody has really determined this through serious studies, but but let's stay tuned and find out when somebody does.
Right. So our three pillars here are functional medicine that looks at the body holistically and does some elimination diets such that we can get the bad stuff out and give our body what it needs to restore and heal. We're basing it on Ayurvedic principles of the doshas so that we're eliminating the right foods for our own personal being. And we're including some of the herbs that will support then our systems and processes and help get us into balance. And then the final bit is we're introducing intermittent fasting as a means of giving our body the time to have the processes and restoration occur. So
that's right. And don't forget on the first one, also the 5 R's.
Yes. So now you take all of that and you put it into a program, and the program includes some shakes. You've got recipes in the book. Could you kind of walk us through the process of what the 7 days are going to look like here?
Yes. So what we're trying to do is to decrease the workload of the digestive system. And for that, we replace many meals with liquid meals because they're easier to digest. They're a kind of like fuel injection. They don't need too much work. They don't need too much processing. The nutrients just shoot directly into your bloodstream without the need of a lot of digestion, right? And that is why we replace solid meals with liquid meals. Then the solid meals that are allowed during the program are to be chosen with a combination of the elimination diet, which is the same for everybody, and the dosha system, which is individual, right? So there's a list of foods that you cannot eat during the elimination diet. For example, dairy, sugar, alcohol, coffee, and gluten. And if you are of fire constitution, we will also eliminate the fiery foods, right? So like spicy foods and mango, and there's very specific foods that will trigger your fire, right? And so you add both of the lists of foods to avoid, and you follow that during your solid meals and also during your liquid meals, by the way. And then what we do is, in my first book, Clean, which is a 21-day program, every day is the same. There's a shake for breakfast, lunch from a set list of foods, and a shake for dinner, and there's supplements in between. And it's the same. And there is 12 hours between dinner one day and breakfast the following day, right? And every day is the same. And the 12-hour window between dinner and breakfast is because 12 hours is the minimum time in which you allow the body to at least go into a little bit of a more intense detox mode, right? Because 8 hours is what it takes to digest a meal, and then you give it 4 more hours for the body to really do the detox mode. Now, in the Clean 7 program, the first day is shake, lunch, shake. The second day is also shake, lunch, shake. But the second shake, you do 2 hours before the first day. So that instead of a 12-hour window between the second day's dinner, shake, and the third day's shake, breakfast, instead of 12 hours, there's 14 hours. On the third day, you do, again, shake for breakfast, a smaller lunch, and then the shake for dinner. You even do 2 hours earlier than the second day. So it's 4 hours earlier than the first day, so that you, instead of having 14 hours between that dinner and the first and the next shake in the morning, on day four, there is 16 hours. And then on day four, you do your breakfast shake, then you do a small lunch, and then you have nothing until the next day's lunch. So no dinner and no breakfast the next day. So you do a 24-hour fast. Now, because you're sleeping part of the time, it'll seem less. It's going to be less hard to do, right? But there's still 24 hours. And then you break your 24-hour fast with a shake. Then you have a dinner that night, a solid dinner. And then slowly you go back to what it looks like the first day.
Okay. And so this one will kind of blend them into a day 4, 24-hour fast. You're incorporating these shakes, which you have lots of recipes in the book for. You have recipes for their lunch meals and dinner meals. So it's all pretty much wrapped up there. I guess the one question is, like you said, your clean program that you had before was 21 days. Most of the elimination diets that I see out there are anywhere from, like I said, 21 days to 8 weeks. Is 7 days really sufficient for someone to get the results that they're after with something like this?
That's a great question. Because in my first book, I talk about the need of 21 days to really cause a significant change in habits, not only lifestyle habits, but also physiologic habits, right? And the 21-day program is life transforming. But the problem that I've seen since I wrote that book, and it's been 10 years, is that most people do not commit to a 21-day program. So even though I gave this incredible tool to the world to really transform their health, only a very small percentage of the people that could benefit from it are actually doing it. So I needed to find something that was shorter, but wasn't just the first day of that program. I needed something more intense so that in 7 days you can really get a taste, and in the hope that people after that won't want to jump back exactly to what they were doing before. Yeah. Right. So you're right. It is not enough. 7 days is not enough for a therapeutic plan using the elimination diet in order to reverse certain chronic diseases or improve certain chronic diseases. But it's better than nothing. And together with everything else, it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it does give them some pretty awesome tools to know how their body works and the foods that are giving them trouble, because as they try to re-implement some of those foods, they're going to pretty quickly understand if they can do gluten or not, if they can do dairy products or not. That'll come back pretty quickly to bite them.
There was a very famous guru in India who I personally met, who used to say, used to give people jewelry and other shiny objects, and materialize those things out of thin air, right? So people would ask him, you're a guru of spirituality. Why do you give shiny objects to people? Isn't that BS? And he would say, I give people what they want in the hope that one day they will want what I really have to give them, right? Okay. And this is how I think about the 7-day program. People want something fast and easy, and they want to get results, right? So I give them that in the hope that then they will take it seriously and they will take it to heart and really do the work that it takes to transform one's life, which you cannot do in 7 days and then just go back to what you were doing before.
Well, I agree. This is a very well prepared and set up program with the recipes, everything in there for you, and a lot of other stuff. There's a lot of tools in there. So I do hope folks will check this out and at least commit to the 7 days, because I do think that I think it'll do a lot for a lot of people. I define wellness as being the healthiest, fittest, and happiest you can be. What are 3 strategies or tactics to get and stay well?
Well, I'm going to go away from your definition of wellness, right? Because
fair enough.
Because the truth is, there's 7 billion people in the planet, and not everybody can get to the fittest they can be, right? There's many different reasons why people are not able to be fit, right? For example, myself, I had an accident 4 years ago that completely destroyed my knees and caused the problem in one of my heart valves. And I had a 6-pack before that, and I used to be in tip-top shape, and now I can't. So I had to learn how to live without being fit, right? And then still be happy. So, in a way, you said it before, because you say the fittest they can be, right?
Yes.
Not the fittest in the planet, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. But when people hear the fittest you can be, it makes them anxious in a way, right? Because they imagine themselves being in perfect shape, and a lot of people will never achieve that. So I defined wellness mostly as the state that one lives in, right? And this is something that you feel. And, you know, the maximum expression of wellness for me, is to be fully present, right? And this is what I understand as enlightenment. And this is really what I'm looking for. And, you know, even though I'm not a spiritual teacher, this is what I try to make people aware of, that regardless of your level of fitness, if you are in a present state of mind, I mean, you would experience peace. And this is the best level of wellness that one can have. Because I've seen gurus that are completely at peace, and they're not necessarily the healthiest, right? Sometimes they have a lot of health issues, including severe ones. But their life is full, and their wellness, in my eyes, is full because they're completely at peace. Now, having said that, most people on the planet are not going to achieve the state of full presence continuously, right? So then you do need to have your body functioning well, because when it is not functioning well, it is hard to achieve a complete presence also, right? Yes. So I think that we should strive for a combination of things, and having your body functioning at the best level possible, right? And I strongly believe that we live in such a toxic world these days that learning how to enhance your own already existing detoxification processes is something that is going to benefit the world greatly. Until we are able to make the world less toxic, right?
Well, I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon. But
listen, I have three kids, so I can't lose hope that things will continue, that will at least start or continue to improve.
Well, awareness is there. I think that's the core of it. We know that these chemicals are not good for us. And so where we can within our own control systems, we can start eliminating them. And if we're purchasing products and stop purchasing other products, that's a cool signal to the people that make this stuff to not make the toxic stuff anymore. So
yeah, and it's not. And let's remember, it's not only about toxic chemicals, right? It's about toxic relationships, toxic governments, toxic workspaces, toxic situations, right?
Yeah, I go through Facebook now and I snooze anyone that posts anything political, so I don't see them for 30 days. My Facebook feed is a lot nicer these days. All right. Well, if someone wanted to learn more about you, learn more about the book, Clean 7, where would you like for me to send them?
So the book is on Amazon and every other online store. They can also go to our website, cleanprogram.com/clean7, and learn. Because what happens is, in the book, I describe for people to do the program without the need to buy any products except Ayurvedic herbs that, you know, you're not going to go and pick up from the fields if you want to use those. So people can, you know, follow the recipes and get everything they need. But in our website, we do provide a kit in which we provide the shakes already prepared. You only have to blend them with water or almond milk or whatever and drink them up, and they contain all the nutrients needed, and they're designed to really enhance the aspects of the program that needs to be enhanced and provide every nutrient that is needed. And so people that don't have the time or the interest or the commitment to go to the supermarket and follow the recipes, and then they can just do it in a very user-friendly way.
Cool. You can go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/412, and I'll be sure to have those links there for you. So Dr. Junger, thank you so much for being a part of 40 Plus Fitness.
You're very welcome. It's been my pleasure. And I'm going to come visit you in
Boca. Please do. I've got a spare bedroom for you, so I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Bye.
Thank you again for being a part of 40 Plus Fitness Podcast. I'm really glad you're here and that you stuck it out with me. I hope you learned something wonderful from Dr. Junger. he's a pretty cool dude. I enjoyed having that conversation with him. So again, I told you last week, if you missed that episode, I wanted to repeat it again today. We are going to be doing challenges at the podcast a little bit differently than we have in the past. I don't know if you know, we do challenges, but we've done a lot of 28-day challenges with a lot of great results. I really enjoy them, but we're going to change things up a little bit. And I'm going to start doing weekly challenges on our Facebook group. So you can go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/group. And there you'll find where we're going to be doing weekly challenges starting December 30th. So check it out, 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/group. These will be weekly challenges dealing with mindset, with food, with exercise, the whole bit. So it's a great opportunity to, over the course of 52 weeks in the year 2020, for us to do something exceptional for our health and fitness. Also, I am going to keep doing the 28-day challenges if there's an interest in it. So the way you'll let me know you're interested is you will become a patron of 40 Plus Fitness. Now, you can do that for as little as a dollar. Go over to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/January. Become a patron of the show, and then I'm going to ask you what kind of challenges you would like for us to do, and then I'm going to make sure you get the challenges that you enjoy the most, that you'll get the most from. So go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/January. Thank you. Next time on the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Dr. Will Cole and discuss his book, The Inflammation Spectrum. Until then, have a happy and healthy week.